tickets, dreaming about a Premiership Cup. We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years.
The shit house.
Charlie, the Bulldogs have got two flags now.
I hate you.
If you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
It is Sunday, the 24th of September. This is welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL podcast. My name is Will Anderson, Charlie Clawson. We'll be back here in a second, but Adelaide fan Justin Hamilton has joined us for this little special mini episode. Justin's just come over. It's his birthday. Well, it's not his birthday today, but it's his. It's the first time we've seen you since your birthday.
Yeah, since I hit 45.
And looks like it might be a good year for you. Your voice is breaking, which is great news.
It's about time I started going through puberty.
And
I'm the right height for it.
You are a fan of the AFL football team, the Adelaide Crows.
Yes. Yes, I am. And I'm just... You know when you always support your team, no matter what, but whatever the sport is, but there's always, sometimes you get people on your team that you're not wrapped with. Like, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers supporter.
Right.
Tough times. Like, good on you, Kobe, for bringing us five championships, but let's never talk of him outside of those five championships, right?
Exactly. Like, watching the Lakers is like watching the Cosby Show.
Right.
You don't want to know what was going on behind the scenes. It's like, Charlie, we've started.
I know, Charlie. I picked up on that.
Yeah. Charlie wasn't going to jump in on that Bill Cosby, Kobe Bryant, riff.
Yeah. But I really like our team. I think they're all like good guys. I think they're high character, and I'm pretty excited for the grand final. Yes, like, don't get me wrong, it hasn't been as long as you went through. You're still going.
You were in Adelaide on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us a sense of what it was like,
mate. It was euphoric. It was 28. You're just walking around in a t-shirt, and people were just like really happy. It was like everyone in Adelaide didn't care about the footy show and Sam Newman having a crack at them anymore.
What is that town? Have you been there when that team is? But you would have been living there last time they were in the grand final, right? What is Adelaide like? Because like they were a one team town back then, I imagine. But
and they are now.
Well, they kind of are now, right? Like, it's Port, and the Port fans are definitely Port fans,
right?
But then kind of the rest of Adelaide are Adelaide Crows fans.
Yeah, because if you lived in Adelaide and followed the South Australian League, and you didn't barrack for Port, it's fair to say that team traumatised you at many points.
Yeah, right. That was so the Collingwood of the Sandfall, right?
Yeah, but successful at like all the time.
Oh, jeez.
No. But you know,
Will's just signed a contract with bloody Eddie Maguire, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Not with Eddie Maguire, alongside Eddie Maguire.
Is it alongside?
It's a very important distinction that I think we should all remember. I'm a work colleague of, not an employee of.
Yeah. I can't wait till we all do a podcast together. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Eddie's going to be my co-host next year.
Yeah.
Two guys, 13 cups.
Adelaide was wrapped when they won those last premierships, because we'd been there was the euphoria when they came in, because we beat the reigning we beat Hawthorn by 86 points in the first game.
Well, and Justin, I was a Saints fan. I was there in 97 when you won your first premiership.
Yeah,
and that, it's fair to say, gave me a distaste for Adelaide supporters for, I would say, like, close to 15 years.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Because you were relatively new to the league. Right. Well, I've been there maybe 7 years, and you won that flag. And I remember being there very near a big bunch of Adelaide supporters who, in their rapture, were going, yeah, yeah. And one of the things they yelled out was, yeah, we really stuck it up Sam Newman. And I remember hearing that and being like, do you guys realize what you've just won? Like, who cares about Sam Newman?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with that. But the amount of bashing that the footy show has given Adelaide over the years,
Also, this is what I love about the Adelaide teams when they win grand finals. They take it as an opportunity to settle petty scores. Because when Port Adelaide won, remember Mark Williams did the whole, this is for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's one of those days where it's essentially the guy who won the Oscar.
We'll be right back.
Crisis averted.
We're back. Wow, that was stressful. That was full on.
Yeah,
I don't know how long it was for everyone listening, but that was
16 weeks.
Yeah, and I've lost a lot of weight, and I feel very stressed. I've aged
7 years later.
The events that happened in the break since you last heard us, you would not believe,
mate. Right.
Beyond explanation.
I've been in a small room putting in numbers, averting a crisis for the earth blowing up. Anyway, that's a long story.
Charlie and I both have had nightmares about the Adelaide Crows, obviously, since that period of time. They hurt both of our teams a lot. But in the period in between, much like coming out of a bad relationship, because I've gone on to find new love.
Yeah.
You can forgive the sins
of the past. I can forgive the sins of the past. But Charlie, on the other hand.
No, I have. I've come around to Adelaide. In the Crobot era, the Neil Craig Crobot era, I had no feeling either way for them. Like most of the football public, I was like, oh, well, you know, they don't really have any personalities. They're a serviceable top four team, but I didn't.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's a really interesting insight into a team that you follow. Because I felt like there was a... You know,
you won them back.
Well, we had Andrew McLeod, who was
You had McLeod in that 97 period as well. He kind of transitioned from the 90s to the 2000s. But I feel like that Crobot era was just a bit... They had a bunch of, like, GOPs.
No, you know, there was the season where we were, like, 14-1 or something crazy.
Yeah.
And then we proceeded to get injuries to every member of our forward line.
We just didn't like the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah,
my point is that, like, we had an idea of them, what they were, which was this boring team. If you actually look back on it, you had Jarman and like McLeod, and even if I stopped talking right now, that would be enough
Sean
for you to
Wren.
Not. That would be enough for you to not be a boring team.
Yeah. What about Wayne Wiedemann? And every time he got the ball in Adelaide, everyone go we.
What about when when it comes to mullets and Adelaide? Do you remember when Greg Anderson went from Essendon to Adelaide? Mullet.
Yeah.
Great mullet. Tex Walker even fucking had
Tex
a mullet
Walker
for a while.
Had a magnificent mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a magnificent moustache. He looked like he should have been flying fighter pilots.
He looks like
50s.
A 1920s strongman. I bet you, like, in the gym at Adelaide Oval, he's just living at like a dumbbells, but they're two big round balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have specialist weights just for him.
Yeah. He comes to work out in just like a single strap, like, leopard skin leotard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the start of the season where everyone gets their training gear in their locker, they just leave him a leotard.
Yeah. And he's fine with it.
My God. He should go as Fred Flintstone to Mad Monday.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing. Right.
But how has your feeling been about Adelaide this year?
Well, I felt good about them because I felt good about the approach. Like, so regardless of that we've gotten to the grand final, you just want your team to play to its maximum capabilities, and then however it plays out, that's how it plays out. And I've just liked the style. It feels like there's a good structure there.
Yeah.
But within the structure, people are allowed and encouraged to have flair. And I think that makes for exciting football.
Good to watch. You got no dickheads.
Yeah.
Well, they have a no dickheads policy.
Yeah.
They say that they draft on character more than they do on
talent. And you can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is that, like...
Do you want some?
I wouldn't mind.
Because we've got heaps of dickheads. Well, you got rid of one guy. Like Lynch, he was like... No good with you guys, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and he's great now.
But he was always
it doesn't
good,
go forward without going through
He was
now.
A first-round draft pick, but he came into the club at an era where we were contesting for grand finals.
Yeah.
And that was an era where we had a great forward line, and like for a fucking 18-year-old mid-sized forward, he couldn't get in. And then by the time we were out of that period, he wasn't good enough to then come in straight away and save the day. He had to, like, if he'd come in earlier, he could have, like, plied his craft as the third forward and come through. It was just bad timing.
Yeah.
So when he went to Adelaide and did really well, I don't think any St Kilda supporter was surprised. It was just really bad timing. We drafted badly.
Yeah.
We didn't need a player like that.
He's had such a good season. Like, he's almost underrated. And I wonder if he sometimes thinks that, you know, all the other Tom Lynch, the Gold Coast Tom Lynch, gets all the fucking Tom Lynch action. If I say Tom Lynch, the AFL footballer,
most
people think of the Gold Coast player, right?
Yeah.
But I reckon Adelaide Tom Lynch has had a better season than Gold Coast Tom Lynch this year. And I'm going to put it on the record that I think at the end of each year that they should assess which of the Tom Lynches has had a better season, and that one should be able to be referred to as Tom Lynch number one for the entirety of the next season.
Yeah. Gets capital letters for the start of their names.
Or the other guy has to change his name. To
Lom Tinch.
Tim Lunch.
Tim Lunch.
Tim Lunch.
The other guy has to change his name to Tim Lunch for the season. So one of them is Tom Lynch and one of them is Tim Lunch. And they play for the Tom Lynch, Tim Lunch Cup every year.
Yeah, it's lunchtime. That's how you promote it.
Perfect.
I mean, you can get a 4-20 on board. And you get a sponsorship. Oh, yeah.
When you got a big hunger, it's lunchtime.
Right. Yeah.
I would just really enjoy watching the stats of whoever is Tim Lunch that year. And then you'd be able to say, did you see Tim Lunch? I reckon he's really working to get his name back.
Right, exactly, right?
Or you wouldn't want to be a carryover Tim Lunch, would you?
Well, two years in a row, because it's all the extra shit that is the problem.
Yeah.
The fact that you have to go and get your driver's license changed and, like, you know, even getting on the plane at the airport. Like, when you're filling in forms, there's a lot more paperwork.
Yeah, you got to have a miserable passport as Tim Lunch.
But in their forward line, they ran through it on the coverage the other night, and they really don't have any, like, they're all picks in their 30s and, you know, players from other clubs. And, you know, they've done a really good job compiling a great list without necessarily having, like, a whole bunch of high draft picks.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like the guys of, you know, Dean Bailey dying, and, you know, we lost some really great players and some real quality characters, like, you know, like Patrick Dangerfield, who I still love because he was a real professional all the way to the end. I even know that all the players were putting in for something with the club rooms, and he put in for it even though everyone knew he was going. And, you know, my favorite part of the game on Friday was right towards the end when Dangerfield came in and he kicked a point and the crowd cheered, and Dangerfield, the look on his face was perfect, which was, yeah, fair enough.
Nah, you got me.
Yeah.
Zing.
But it was good. It was all in good nature.
Well, because
you know?
Him and Josh Jenkins had that sort of like running feud. Apparently they're friends, but they've been calling each other out in the media and stuff and like really kind of making it. And Dangerfield must know that.
Yeah.
Like, he must know that if he taunts Adelaide and he has to go and play a final in Adelaide, that he's really setting himself up for the fact that it could really go horribly wrong for him. And the fact that when he missed, he just that smile on his face, he was like, yeah, okay, so...
Yeah, no, I started this game, I guess, you know, and I deserved it.
Because I knew this was one of the options when I set out on this path.
Yeah.
You know, like if Superman got into a war of words with Batman,
right? Yeah.
You know, like one is clearly superior to the other. I think Superman could be forgiven going into that fight going, it's fine, like, I will cream this guy.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, you're saying that Superman...
Josh Jenkins is more of like a Batman to Patrick Dangerfield's Superman in terms
hang
of football.
On. So, but run me through... In the battle of the words, who do you think in a battle of the words out of Superman and Batman would win the battle of the words?
It's Batman.
Yeah, well, you know what would happen.
Why?
Well,
smarter.
Batman's smarter.
And Superman.
Superman's a journalist. Yeah.
Batman's a fucking
Superman's
scientist.
Superman's
a detective.
Yeah, but you know what fucking scientists and detectives do all the time?
What?
Present information in a way that is incomprehensible to the general public.
Yeah.
Right. Here's what fucking journalists do. Yeah. Dumb that shit down so people understand it. Superman's a journalist. Superman wins the battle. The end.
And by the way, all he needs to do is after Batman's been going on a rant, all he has to do is go, Bruce, we've all lost our parents.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know... Batman would have to accept that, and then they'd go and kick some ass.
Yeah.
So Patrick Dangerfield's a really good footballer.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. But, you know, like, I especially as I get older, I get really emotional with good sportsmanship. And it's been too much for me this weekend. Watching Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer play tennis together just made me so happy. And then watching the players afterwards, like, Sloan fucking took Dangerfield out, you know. But then they're hugging, and it's like, it just shows you can go really hard and just have a bit of respect as well. And I really dig that.
It's the goodwill. It's been a pretty goodwill final series.
Yeah.
And there's been no animosity. Like, GWS are probably the biggest villains of the lot because they're like this franchise
team.
Well,
also, I don't
miss...
But
they're not even they.
I don't mind that the players... Because I don't think it takes anything away from the intensity of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I bet that Joel Selwood and Tex Walker probably... are probably pretty friendly in real life, right? But it doesn't mean that they won't, you know, be competitive on the ground. But I think this era where they all seem to recognise that it's a game...
Well, you know what else it is? It's social media. So now, once upon a time, you're at your club and you just didn't even really know the other guy. But now you're bumping into each other, you're reading their stuff, you're liking it, you know, then suddenly it just builds a whole new vibe.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
Do you think that players ever do that on purpose? Do you think that there's anyone out there who's kind of smart enough to go, you know what? I reckon if Alex Rance likes you, that he's probably doesn't play quite as hard on you.
Mate,
and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on, like in the couple of weeks before the game, I'm going to like a lot of his Instagram posts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to comment underneath in a really supportive way. I'm going to get in his kitchen.
Oh, man, you know what that is? In the NBA.
It's the anti-Tom Bug.
Right.
Yeah, mate, in the NBA, the coaches used to say to the rookies, don't talk to Michael Jordan, because he'd walk up to these rookies and go, hey, I've been watching you play and you've been playing really well. They'd go, oh, thanks. And then he'd scorch them for 47.
Yeah. I reckon you could definitely do that, right? That would be the way to do it. You would just be like, yeah, I just really love this stuff, mate. Oh, lol. Just right. A lot of lols.
Mate.
Hashtag loving it.
Imagine you get to know them well enough that you can just make them laugh with a little thing that's a bit of an in-joke. So you're going up for a mark, you can just lean over and go, g'day. And they get so excited by that. They're like, oh, yeah, how funny. And then Hammo's gone, kicked a goal.
I like it. It's a whole new dimension. Are you going to get to go to the game on the weekend?
Yes. Our good pal, Limo, sorted me out. So you like this. He asked me if I wanted a ticket to the grand final. Yes. And it was the week that we clinched top two. And I thought, yep. Well, you know what? That's a good position to be in. I'll roll the dice. And then we subsequently lost the next two matches and Rory Sloane's appendix had to come out. And there was a part of me going, what have I done? Because I'm an only child and I make it all about me. So I've been rapt that it's gotten back on track for a minute there. I was like, oh, well, I can't wait to see GWS play Geelong.
So everyone in this room is going to the grand final. Oh, no, wait. I'm not.
Oh.
Oh, well. I mean, Justin's a big fan of the Adelaide Crows.
Well, no, Justin should be going. Yeah, I'm not really talking about Justin.
He's a fan of one of the clubs.
Yeah.
And I am being rewarded.
Yeah. Fair enough, too.
Yeah.
Alongside.
Alongside. Yeah. Not for. Yeah. Not for.
Employee of the month.
Exactly. Alongside. It's not like fucking Rory Sloane works for Tex Walker.
Yeah.
Does he? But does he? Like, I mean, Tex is the captain.
Right.
And if Tex says something, Rory does it. Kind of does work for him.
Yeah, but they are teammates. He's not the employer.
Yeah, right. No, like, but like when Tex makes a call, Rory's got to follow it.
Well, to a certain point, I hear what you're saying. But they're both employed by the club and answer to the coach.
On a technicality.
Feels like someone's trying to talk their way up to captain.
Oh, no.
Is this what's going to happen?
Too early.
Make a leadership deal?
Yeah.
Exactly. Watch your back. That's what I would say. This is a warning.
Will White and Matt Anderson.
I've got a 5-year plan based on the Richmond 5-year plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the listeners up to a certain amount. Yeah. And then I'm going to make a bid for the leadership.
Yeah. And then in the fifth year, it'll be you, Luke Darcy, Nick Revolt, and Charlie hosting breakfast.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yes. I like that, actually. That's not bad.
We should delete this part so nobody hears it and gets onto your plan.
No, I like it. No, this is how you plant ideas in people's minds.
It's inception.
Yeah, it's inception.
Yeah. Good work, AFL podcast. Brought it back to Nolan.
Justin, yeah. So,
you know, I thought you would also like to know that, you know, how we all did stuff for the AFL teams this year, where they got comedians to do some stuff. I got to do stuff with the Crows and got to...
So all of us in this room got to do stuff for...
Right.
For the football.
Well, actually, technically, I took a day out of my busy schedule to go and film stuff down in Ballarat in the rain.
Yeah.
And they offered us free... Oh, thank you for bringing this up. They offered us, in return for our services, tickets to the AFL games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was meant to go to Adelaide to watch the Bulldogs with you and couldn't because of my bad back. So I had to miss out on that. They offered me my own tickets, but because I was away and I had my bad back, I didn't get to go. So you know what, Charlie?
What?
I'm owed a fucking ticket.
Oh, yeah. You need more rewards. Well, you're sitting alongside one side. You can sit alongside the other. That's
anyway,
great.
It'll but be fine.
What I loved about Eddie was, you know, as you would expect, awesome. And he was showing me, you know, how to kick deliberately into the ground and get it across. And we're having a good time. But what I loved about him was he just said to me with such beautiful honesty, he said, well, I've gotten a goal of the year the last 2 years. And guess what? I'm going to go for a third. You know how, Noah, in the past, you would always have to kind of play that down. I thought, oh, you know, if it happens, it happens. And Eddie's like, no, I'm going to try and get the trifecta. Let's do this.
That's what I love about him. Often when you see him, like the ball will be going towards the boundary line and it's almost like he slows down to let it go a little bit close to the boundary line.
100%.
So he can tap it through his legs and then try to win a cup.
The more
like as soon as the ball goes towards the boundary line, Eddie's like, need an extra bit in the garage.
Yeah.
He does that. He makes it more difficult for himself. Right. Like he literally makes it more difficult. It's amazing.
Yeah. But you know, also you know how much he loves kicking goals, but he gave out some nice assists on Friday night. Like I love the they're generous. So unselfish.
He buried the finals demons, you might say.
Yeah. No, he was fantastic. Anyway, Carlton must be wrapped. They got rid of it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Carlton.
All right, who do you think will win the grand final, Justin? What's your plan for the day? Do you have like a have you been to a grand final? Oh yeah, come on, mate.
Mate, well, we've been to a few.
We've been to a couple together. Yeah. But have you?
We were at that Sydney Swans.
Have you seen?
Oh my god, were you at the one where Shannon Noble was in a headlock?
Yeah, I was, wasn't I?
No, I'd forgotten about that until Charlie brought it up on the podcast.
Well,
no,
of course.
I mean, like a friendly headlock.
Oh yeah, of course.
Wanted to sing his new single, I believe.
Oh, that would
have
been great.
He did sing his new single, I believe.
Yeah, that was the name.
Now that I've been reminded of it, yeah, I believe that was the name. That was the single. That does actually sound like a Shannon Noel song. Would not surprise me.
I have a feeling it's an anthem.
Yeah. Grand final day. Have you ever watched the Adelaide Crows in the grand final?
No.
Okay. So, what do you think you're going to be like as a supporter?
You know. I know this is going to sound a bit wimpy. I just want to be in the moment. I just want to be right in the moment, enjoy it for everything that it is. I feel confident that we've got a good team that will give it a good crack. You never know what's going to happen on grand final day, but...
Stop being so polite, Justin.
No, you don't know.
Of course I want to win.
What
are you going to do before the game? What are you going to do? Are you going to get down there early? Are you going to... What will you dress in? Will you wear crows, like a scarf or something?
What suit will you wear? Top hat, I imagine? Top hat and tails.
Yes, I'm going to escape from a wedding cake and go straight to the AFL grand final. I reckon...
Can you go as a crazy, like, crow supporter where, like, you paint your face into, a crow or something? Like, cardboard wings?
Mate, how good
so when
been?
They do the montage outside the ground before the game, I'm like, is that fucking Justin Hamilton? Yeah, he's just a guy.
You want to see me at the end of the game with my arms around, leaning over the fence, with my arms around Charlie Cameron, I'm trying to take a selfie, but what's happened is the makeup has set off this dermatitis on one side of my face. I'm just blistering in that direction, but still looking happy.
I want you to look like you're a failed entrant in the Birdman rally. Like you've got these like cardboard wings trying to bend one around Charlie Cameron to get the photo while your swollen face.
Did you see that moment when that Adelaide fan kissed his mate on the coverage? Did you see that?
There was this
like total hipster dude in the crowd, essentially when Adelaide got the goal that meant that they were definitely home and host.
Yeah.
And they have this footage of him and this like total mustache, long haired hipster dude just walks up to his mate and patches him on the mouth.
Yeah, good times.
And they do a slow-mo replay of it. And then it's one of those things where BT is dancing around saying something homophobic.
Right on the edge, mate.
Right on the edge. And then at some stage, one of them just goes, well, love is love.
Oh, BT. But he passed. He passed with flying colours.
Well done, BT.
The Bristol should feel good about that.
It was 3 years ago he thought like waving to the crowd seemed gay. So it's real progress that he sees two men kiss and he's okay with it.
Anyway, you know, that's a fake moustache now, though, because it went while he was holding it back.
Anyway, technically, I'm not sure that I'm allowed to make fun of Bristol anymore.
Mate, you work alongside him.
Yeah, I work alongside him, not for it.
Right. So, if he was in the back line, he'd be...
Who do you think will win? Who will win the Norm Smith medal?
I have a feeling it'll be 5 goals around that mark.
Okay. Then Adelaide win.
Yep.
If it's 5 goals, then Adelaide wins.
Then Adelaide wins. And I'm going to go with tradition. I want to see Charlie Cameron win.
Number 23.
So keep it in the 23s.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the great thing. But the thing I always loved about Andrew McLeod was that you could just, like, especially in that North Melbourne final, when he got moved into the middle, you could, just watching it, you go, oh, shit is about to happen.
That dude was built to win Norm Smith's. Oh, if there was ever a fucking big-time player, it was Andrew McLeod.
Yeah, I bumped into him in Melbourne. I'd never really met him before.
Well, you tried to bump into him. He was too quick.
I tackled him. He just shrugged me off. He still looks, man, he looks... fit as well. Like, he looks like he's ready to go. And it's the first time I felt a little bit, oh, yeah, hey, mate, how's it going? In a long time.
David Beckham, Bobby Nystrom, Don Mattingly, LeBron James are some of the 23s that we didn't mention when we talked about this on the other
podcast. We talked about how good players are 23.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Michael Jordan's going to be the biggest.
Well, he started that one, yeah. Shane Warne was 23 in 9 days, wasn't he?
I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah. Here we go. I've got a little thing here. The nine greatest athletes to wear the number 23. Buddy Franklin, I don't think, has made this list, unfortunately.
It's an American.
Because it's an American list. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go with number 9, Bobby Nystrom, who's a hockey player.
Disagree.
Then we'll go with Brian Bellows, who's also a hockey player.
Disagree.
Don Mattingly,
baseballer.
Bob Gainey, hockey player. Disagree. Kelvin Murphy, NBA. Disagree. Ryan Sandberg.
Michael Jordan isn't number one.
Disagree. David Beckham, third place. LeBron James, yeah. And in first place, Michael.
I'm sorry. That sounded dumb. I thought you were counting up from one.
Oh, right.
You're yeah. counting down from 10.
Yeah.
Charlie never got a job at NASA.
Yeah. So, thank goodness.
All right. We should finish this up. This was just meant to be a little mini episode.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Good luck.
You know, yeah, thanks. And good luck to, you know, I hope the Richmond supporters have a good day. Of course, I want to win.
Boo, what the hell are you talking about? Shut up.
Mate, I'm full of the love. I want to be a good sportman.
You're not an ally supporter.
Mate, you don't understand. I saw Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer play tennis together and it's made my life complete.
All right.
I'm full of happiness.
Well, that's disappointing. We got you on. This is like our shock jock moment. We're going to get you on and just try and provoke you into like...
This is for Sam Newman again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those
gotcha interviews.
I hope they feel really proud of their team when they lose. There you go. There's a mild diss.
And if Don Pike is listening to this podcast, please take the moment to get one of your petty grievances off your chest.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the tradition, if you do win, get up there and say...
Up yours, Jetstar, for only flying four times a day.
Yeah. He's holding up some pikelets. I can't even eat these without people always saying it's like your name.
Up yours at other pubs where you call middies and schooners different to what we call ours.
Pikey, you'd definitely go with that one.
Yeah. Up yours, places that don't serve pies with peas.
Yeah, yeah.
Up yours, places that don't have Farmers Union milk. It's clearly the best flavoured milk in all of Australia.
Everyone need a bag of dicks. We've got fruit trucks.
All right, that's the end. I don't know how we end when Justin's here.
Play on, not 15.
Ball.
I'm 45.
We are two guys, one car.